I immediately tried to draw comparisons between this new world that I was entering and the world that I had left. The houses in this new world were lower, they were not built as high, they were somewhat different, but they were very similar to the buildings of people on Earth. Because the first thing you do when you enter this new world is that you expect everything to be different, it seems almost obvious that everything must be different. And when there are so many similarities with the world you left behind, you are disappointed. My companion said, "Yes, souls like you live in these houses, and as you will see, there are gardens around these houses, just like with people. I will accompany you part of the way, but then you must find your own way." It seemed to me that it was not far from where he had left with me. He showed me the street. It did not seem to be particularly long, and the houses were scattered here and there. I thought it could be the main street of this village. When we got to this street, my companion said, "Down there, the lowest house, do you see it?" "Yes, I saw it." "You can go in there and ask if they would like to take you in. There is still room there, and they will take you in. You will find out everything else then. You should only devote yourself to useful things and do nothing that could hinder your progress. You must now make up for what you neglected in the earthly world. You did not strive for the high life, you had no interest in getting closer to God, he was a stranger to you, you did not want to believe in him, so you are now far away from him. I must also mention that when greeted by this being who was a stranger to me and my parents and some acquaintances were also standing nearby. They shook my hand briefly to greet me and acted as if they were in a very, very hurry, and they said goodbye again with the words, "Goodbye, we will ask about you or come to you." I wanted to call out to them, "Wait, I have questions to ask you, I want to talk to you, and I also have a lot to tell you." I did not know what was happening, they had disappeared as if through an alley and were no longer there. Everything here seemed so quiet and so orderly, everything was neatly arranged, everything was simple and modest. But it was very quiet, and I had the impression that everyone was now in their houses and for some reason was not allowed to leave. So this being that had accompanied me said goodbye, and I was standing all alone on this street. So I then walked towards the house I had indicated. But first I stopped in front of it and thought, should I go in right away? Then they might stop me and I'll have to stay in the house. That's what it seemed like to me, because it was so quiet, nobody was standing around, nobody could be seen. So I wanted to take a look at this village first and looked around. So I started walking. I could walk a good distance and then I ran to a stream. I followed this stream and there I saw a bridge that led over it. As I walked along this stream I could see that it would definitely be a bit nicer on the other side of the stream. Here on my side I saw no flowers, I saw nothing green in this village, everything was spotlessly clean, but there was something I didn't like, but I couldn't see it. On the other side of the stream, however, I saw green meadows, the houses were similar to those in my village. And so I thought, I'll get going and just go to the other side. I walked towards the bridge and I could see from afar that there was a lot of activity, people were greeting each other, saying goodbye and calling out goodbye to each other. Some people were crossing the bridge into our village and others were crossing the bridge from our village into what I thought was a nicer village. At first I watched the activity from a distance, I wanted to see what was going on. I saw a few figures giving their instructions and it seemed to me as if they were ordering who could cross the bridge. And they were also greeting those who were coming from the other side. Well, I just wanted to try it too. After all, I was a newcomer to the village, didn't know the customs and wanted to go to the other side. So I went to the bridge and wanted to cross it. But someone stood in my way and asked me to wait because they had to deal with others first. It seemed a bit puzzling to me because I was completely alone, while everyone who was going to the other side or coming from the other side was actually in company and knew each other. So I waited. After they had spoken to a few people, greeted and received them in a friendly manner, shown them the way and pointed them out, another being unknown to me came to me and asked, "What do you want?" And I said, I just want to cross the bridge. He looked me up and down, examined me and said, you want to cross the bridge? You don't have permission to do that. And I said, where can I get permission? You have to earn it, he replied and put me to one side. I then stood a little to the side and thought that perhaps I could try again, perhaps he had not given me the right answer. And I went to the side where the other being was standing and wanted to cross the bridge there. But I was stopped again and he said, you don't belong over there, you have no task to fulfill there. You have to go your own way. I was told this in a friendly manner. Well, I thought, perhaps the time will come and then I would like to try again. And so I listened to the conversations that were taking place in front of this bridge. I had to realize that they were expressing their joy at seeing each other again and that some were saying, it won't be long now and then I can move away. Then you can come and get me and then I will stay with you. I also heard how one comforted the other and said, you have no other choice, you just have to wait until the time is up, you still have a few things to do, but you will get there, and then we will be happy when we cross the bridge together. So I heard these conversations, and it became clearer and clearer to me that you couldn't cross this bridge without permission, that you couldn't leave the village. It actually seemed to me like a border. You were not allowed to cross this border, and there they were, the guards, and simply didn't let anyone through without permission. So I continued walking, but I didn't want to go into the house that was marked. The people who were there dispersed again and I didn't see them anymore. I continued walking along the stream and immediately saw a new bridge. And there it was the same again, they were standing there again, saying goodbye, talking to each other. Others greeted each other, hugged each other, showed their joy at seeing each other again. And so I thought I could maybe try there after all. But I had no luck either, I was stopped again, and these were not as friendly as the others. They took me firmly aside and said, you have no business there, you know where you belong. Find your place, which has been assigned to you. And I was firmly put aside. So I had learned something, there were borders, and these borders could not be crossed without permission. Well, then I searched this village, I wanted to know what was there. Because although there were fields, they were not cultivated, they were barren, and I also thought that there could be no animals living in these fields. I had no idea whether there might be animals in this village or in the surrounding area. But that did not seem to be the case, I did not see any horses, nothing, nothing. No animals. So I went back into the village and ran back to this street. And at the house where I was supposed to report, I walked up and down, but I did not find the courage to go in, although I now occasionally met one or two people and everyone greeted me very kindly, as if I had known them for a long time. But they were always in such a hurry and I thought to myself, I still have the opportunity to talk to them. First of all, I want to see what there is in this village. If they lock me in the house, I have seen something of the village. Now I did not have the courage, not yet the courage, to go into the house, I was simply filled with uncertainty. On the other hand, I thought, perhaps there are higher beings in the house who are now starting to judge me, and I simply wanted to avoid that for as long as possible. So I took a different route. Then I came to this stream again. The stream actually surrounded the whole village, and there I saw another bridge, and there was no one standing in front of this bridge. To my great surprise, I realized, they came and went, and no one asked where they were going, they hurried back over the bridge into the village, and some from the village went over the bridge. Now I too crossed the bridge. But it was strange that as I crossed the bridge it suddenly became foggy. It seemed as if night was falling. But I still hoped that day would come again. And I wasn't alone, I just followed the others. When I left the bridge and left the village behind me, where did I suddenly find myself? In the middle of the people on earth. I walked on the streets where the people were, and strangely enough it was my village that I had left. And so I returned to the house where I had lived and died. I was amazed again, some bridges were closed, you couldn't cross them. And another was open, and nobody asked about it, you suddenly found yourself back where you had once been. But people didn't see you, they didn't hear you. I had tried to make myself noticed at first. I then walked towards my house, and on the way to my house it was still so foggy and cloudy. I thought it was night, but I could recognize the people I met. Some people I knew had also come towards me. I went up to them and patted them on the shoulders, called their names. But they didn't feel anything, nobody felt anything that I had pushed them on the shoulders, that I had taken their hands. They acted as if they didn't notice anything. Now I had to realize that people don't see you at all. Now I wanted to go into my house, and then I realized that I didn't even have to touch the door handle. As soon as I put my hand on it, I was already behind the door. At first I found this very amusing. I had walked back and forth several times. Even the wall of the house had not hindered me, and so I had gone through that wall several times. So I had learned something. Human matter, earthly matter, does not hinder the spirit, it can go through them. So it was clear, I had died. I had long doubted whether it was even true. But now it was clear to me, I had died, was in another world, and this world was strange. So I went into the room where I had slept and where I had died. I thought I would find my wife in this room, but I found that it was empty. My wife had preferred to move into another room. It seemed as if she had been afraid. Because I had died in this room, she no longer wanted to be there, and so she had moved out and taken another room. Well, I arrived at a moment when my wife was sitting at the table, with a candle burning in front of her and praying for me, Heinrich, from her prayer book. I had looked around a bit and was surprised to find that there were other beings in this room. There was one of them kneeling next to my wife, praying and putting his hands in my wife's lap and praying with her. Another was sitting on the table playing with the candlelight. Another was standing in the corner and had a very serious face. He acted as if he could step in at any moment and send everyone there away. Well, I told him straight away, the one who was standing there at the door and acted as if he was keeping watch, that I had once been the master of this house. He acted as if he didn't hear me, gave me no answer. He just seemed to be turning his eyes to the others. Well, I stood behind my wife and wanted to see what she was praying. She was praying for the poor souls in purgatory, and she was praying the Lord's Prayer, once out loud, once quietly, and all for her dear husband. Yes, I had quietly hoped and suspected that my wife would pray for me, and so I immediately realized that she had. I then left the room again and stayed around the house to see what changes had been made. But I was already becoming a little indifferent. I had realized, no one takes any notice of you. What is the point of going to people anyway? They don't hear you and don't see you and don't want to know anything. Now I considered whether I should go back the same way, over the bridge and into the house that had been assigned to me. Then someone came up to me and greeted me by name. He had also lived in this village and I knew him well, we had often been together. I asked him where he belonged and how he had got here and why he was coming back. He was in a similar situation to me, but he did not live in the same spiritual village. It was a different village where he had been led, but he had also used the footbridge to leave his world, and this footbridge had not been guarded either. Now I told him that I would think about whether it would be better if I returned there or whether I should stay with these people. Well, he said to me, personally, I lack courage, and I think you will feel the same. You know, you have so many things on your back, and now everything you have done wrong comes out, and I don't like to hear it when people tell me all the things I have done wrong. We agreed that we were both afraid. We then discussed together what we could do to perhaps gain some leniency in the later judgment of us. The other had been in the world beyond for a longer time and also seemed to be more familiar with the earthly world, as it could be seen as a spirit. He told me, everything that grows on earth, be it plants, trees, whatever it is, everything has and carries a spiritual cloak around it. It is an odic force. I have also observed that this odic cloak can be partially removed from various objects. And now I would like to do something to improve my situation, And I would like to help people on Earth who are sick, are cared for and given all kinds of teas to drink, compresses are made for them and other things, because they want to get well. Now I have chosen this and have found that as a spirit you can carry these spiritualed cloaks away and bring them to sick people. You can put them on their heads, on their hands, on their feet or somewhere else on their bodies, and that this said cloak then leaves some of its power behind for the person. The person absorbs this new odic power that is brought to him with his odic power. But you have to know these little herbs exactly that help. He explained various things to me. He had also brought water and wet the sick person's hands or forehead with this water. He had even gone to trees and taken odic power from these trees, by working on the bark with his hands for so long that a piece of this spiritualed coat fell away, and he then brought it to the sick person. But not all sick people are successful. For those who are marked for death, for dying, it is pointless to use it. One can only promote the healing process in those who are only temporarily unwell or ill, and one can recognize this immediately. For those who are destined for death, an angel of death would already be there, and there would be no need, no help. Others would do their job and, if necessary, relieve pain. So he told me that he only gives his support where he really sees that people can get well again and where he simply wants to speed up this healing process, and he has had good success. Then he asked me to do the same. We could do it together and maybe people would notice us and praise us. We just wanted to do good now. So we agreed and stayed together for a long time. We also met people who had to work hard and we tried to share the work with them. We tried to penetrate them with our spiritual bodies and do the work together with them. So we put our hands in theirs and helped them in this way. And the people didn't suspect or feel anything, but we often heard them say, "Today the work seemed much easier than yesterday, I felt much better today than yesterday." That was actually all we did. We visited the sick and working people to give them support. We also occasionally helped to pull a load when we saw that animals had been harnessed that had to pull a load that was too heavy. One of them pulled and the other pushed. Then we had an encounter together. Another being unknown to us came. We already knew that these beings had to ensure order, and it said, "Yes, I am a spirit of God and I ensure order. I recommend that you both return to your house now, because your task awaits you there and you will be able to accelerate your ascent with it. And also, how is your purification going? You haven't even gone through the purification yet. Instead, you went over the free bridge." "Yes," we said, "we didn't dare go there out of fear." And the Spirit of God explained to us that if you don't bring too great, extremely great debts and burdens with you, you can also enjoy freedom, but freedom should not serve to hinder the ascent. One must recognize for oneself that obedience is more important than taking the easy way and being afraid. He would recommend that we go to our destination. I then decided that I wanted to go, but he should accompany me. I did not want to go alone. Then he said to me, "Okay, I will accompany you. But your friend, who has now fulfilled these tasks with you, should not go over the bridge alone either." And the Spirit of God had made sure that he also had a companion. But now I am only speaking of myself, so I went with him, somewhat cheered up, somewhat happier, because now there was a Spirit of God at my side, and he did not seem so strict to me. I felt safer at his side. And so he led me over this bridge, and we went into the house. Now, before we entered the house, another being unknown to me came towards us, called me by name and said, "I have been waiting for you for a long time, there is a free place for you." And my companion said goodbye to me and said that he would look for me again later, and that I should now trust him and remain obedient. I felt a little anxious. There was a free place, what kind of place could it be? Then he opened the door and I entered a hall. The house had not seemed big to me from the outside, but I had not seen the depth of this house, and now I was suddenly standing in the middle of a large hall. And what did I notice? There was one camp bed next to another. It was simply a board raised from the ground, like a cot. There were no pillows, no blankets or anything like that, just a board, and they all seemed to be sleeping on it. He walked with me to one of these beds, which had become free, and said, "You should lie down there and sleep." And I said, "I haven't got any sleep, do I have to sleep?" "Yes," he said, "you should sleep." I answered him, "Wouldn't it be possible to sleep outside the house? I won't go away. But I find that there is such a disgusting smell in this room, it seemed to me like the smell in a mortuary, it was so disgusting to me." And I said to him, "I can't breathe here, it is such a disgusting smell, it smells of the dead." But the being unknown to me, who was a spirit of God, said to me very kindly, "Just lie down, soon you won't smell anything anymore." And so I did that and lay down. I wanted to be obedient now, and I had no idea what was going to happen. Even before I closed my eyes, I saw how everyone had sunk into a deep sleep. But I could see that beings kept coming in and walking up to a very specific brother or sister, taking them by the hand and going out with them. So I could also hope that they would come and take me back. And suddenly, this strange smell helped me to fall asleep more quickly. I actually became so sleepy that I was able to sleep. I didn't ask how long I had slept. When I opened my eyes, I could no longer smell this disgusting smell. A being immediately came up to me and asked me to leave the room. I was glad to be allowed to go out. Now I was in the garden in front of the house, and here a spirit of God spoke to me again and said, "Now it's time for you to talk to each other." And he started to talk about my past life on earth, telling me everything I had done wrong. I experienced everything so vividly before my eyes, I saw it as you can watch a film. I had often lied, I hadn't always been honest. And with all these things that I had concealed in my human life or that I had said were different than they were, which had caused me harm to others, this being said to me, "All of this must be put right." Now everything was clear, what I had done wrong, I could no longer deny or deny what I had done. So the life I had lived was allowed to pass before my eyes, and this happened in the garden in front of the house. Now he said, "You need some time to reflect. During the time you were busy with people, you tried to do good and live well, to atone for some of the guilt. It is praiseworthy that you did that and did not allow yourself to be tempted into any base deeds. But now your mistakes must be made right, for you never asked about God. Not even when you first took a step into the spiritual world, you did not ask about him. Now we will give you time to ask about God, to search for him in your soul. You must find a relationship between yourself and the Creator and the Redeemer. Then we will see what happens next." He asked me to follow him and he led me out of the village. But it did not seem to be heading towards the hills, instead he walked with me sideways into a forest. It became dark again as we walked along the path that led us into the forest. It was completely dark in the midst of all these trees and there was a great silence. As we walked through the forest, the Spirit of God showed me the place where I should stay. I realized that I was not the only inhabitant of this forest, there were others there too, lost in thought. Some leaned against a tree, others lay on the level spiritual ground. They all had to do the same thing as I was supposed to do, they had to create a bond between themselves and the world of God, to God himself and to the Savior. In this way, through this bond, they were supposed to gain insight, it was supposed to lead them to prayer, to humility, to modesty and to obedience. The Spirit of God spoke to me for a long time and explained, "When you have found relationship with God, I will come back." He forbade me to talk to the others, to have conversations with others. He set a limit on the place where I was allowed to go and no further. In this silence on the one hand and isolation on the other, one had to come to terms with oneself. So I had the opportunity to think about many things. This sleep, which I had previously been allowed to take in that hall, seemed to have been very beneficial for me. Because I suddenly had a different attitude, I was now ready to be obedient, I was ready to accept everything and began to appreciate the prayer that my wife said for me. I then asked that the prayer that my wife said for me be accepted. Thus I had created a path, I had submitted myself to God and His law. Then I was led out of the forest again, and the many others who were in the same and similar circumstances, were also led out. So I had been able to experience how one and the other had been taken away, and I was able to be so full of help that the time would come for me too, and so it had happened, they had taken me too. Well, in this isolation I could now say yes to God. But the purification was not yet over, then I had to get to work. I had to work together with many others and at the same time enjoy my lessons like everyone else, because I was completely ignorant of Christ's plan of salvation, of God's creation. We were to be taught about this, but also to do hard work. Dear brothers and sisters, I have now told you something about my early days. Today I am in the fortunate position of being free, of being happy. But I enjoy freedom under the rule of God. I enjoy freedom just as you citizens in your state enjoy your freedom and do nothing that could take your freedom away. So I am subject to the rule of God, have become zealous and strive to take step by step in order to ascend to the heights. So I have fulfilled my task for you, dear brothers and sisters, and have been able to tell you about my retreat, how things went for me in the spiritual world. May God protect you. Greetings. Joseph, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to answer questions about what has been said, if necessary. Yes, dear spirit friend Joseph, I would be generally interested in whether excessive alcohol consumption damages the soul body, so that this can be seen in the afterlife. Joseph, it also damages the soul body, and it is particularly damaging if one has injured one's soul and the soul of another through this evil. Then of course it also has an effect on the spiritual clothing. Joseph, yes. Dear Joseph, how long ago was Heinrich's life? Joseph, 100 years. Dear Joseph, Heinrich talked about the sleep he had to take in that hall and said that this sleep helped him to achieve a different attitude. I would like to ask you what it is like when such a spirit sleeps. What happens then? Joseph, this sleep is like an anesthetic, and it makes it possible to give the soul in question increased strength to get used to these new circumstances. This odic force that surrounds the soul also has its influence on the soul, on activity, on progress. Sleep therefore serves both to calm and to strengthen the soul. May I ask you one more question? Heinrich had, thanks to sleep, came to a different attitude. What was it like in this forest, during the time of reflection? Did he come to a better relationship with God, above all through reflection and thinking about his life? Joseph, yes, through reflection. Is it similar to meditation for us humans, that it leads to a better relationship with God? And that Christians can find God through it? Joseph, yes. Dear Joseph, didn't this Heinrich, after he had left his sphere against the instructions of the Spirit of God and returned to earth, actually become a wandering spirit? Joseph, yes, temporarily. But you know that among these unclassified people, there are also some who can be evil, who come from their worlds who are evil. But there are also those who don't necessarily have to be evil, they can flee their assigned place out of fear of punishment, because they just don't want to be tied down yet. These beings are actually only afraid, it is their insecurity and fear of the future. In the second to last lecture, on February 20, 1965, you also spoke of wandering spirits and of those who are banished. Now I would like to ask, just to be sure, these will all be picked up one day, won't they? Joseph, yes. But there are some who go their own way? Joseph, it can be so if this is permitted on the basis of merit. In this respect, you have also been shown today that it all depends on the development of the individual. Free will is given to beings, just as it is given to you. But as has been said, one must not exploit this free will to do something unjust. One must therefore be able to recognize that one is under the rule of God and that one must observe the laws of this new world into which one has entered. Otherwise one can be robbed of this freedom. In a certain sense, one can deal with this freedom in the way that you have already been told on various occasions. It all depends on the nature, One person can be good-natured, but simply cannot summon the courage to join God's order. Accordingly, encounters will also occur. Spirits of God are always on the lookout for such erring spirits to make them aware of their wrong path and to teach them.